Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of TFG Radio. Right now I'm joined by John on the Wheels of Steel. Danny will join us later on, hopefully. Fingers crossed. A lot has happened since our last episode, especially the following Monday. But before we start all that, I want to talk about, I mentioned a contest. We have an extra box of the Indomitus box with all the Space Marine stuff.
And this is an extra box of
this
stuff that's not being sold.
I just found it. This was made available to us through one of the local stores, which was Gameology Pasadena, which is one of the local stores opening up.
So no, not a store that's open.
They're not open
yet.
There's
no open stores.
They're selling, but curbside.
Yes.
But they're not open in regards to people being able to go inside.
No.
So the contest is for Patreons only. And the reason I'm making it for Patreons only is because we don't really advertise it very much to begin with. And there
we
has
don't
been
really put anything behind the paywall either. Like, it's not a paywall for us. It's just like
no. all you get, there's a Patreon Facebook group that you become a part of, and there we talk a little bit. It's not as active since 8th edition kind of, or well, since COVID. But you get into that group basically, and you get to talk to all of us at any time, whenever you want.
And put questions in for the show.
And then put questions in for the show every episode. So, and like I said, we haven't been advertised. We don't advertise it a lot, so that we don't have a large Patreon group. I think it's in double digits. I don't know.
I have no idea. You don't let anybody have access to that information or money but you.
No, that's correct. So as a reward, we're going to give a lucky winner an Indomitus box set. There'll be some other prizes for second and third, but not as good as that. And we will have the drawing will be in our next episode, which will be in 2 weeks. But what we'll do is, for everyone that's in the Patreon or goes into the Patreon between now and the next episode in 2 weeks, on the first or on the second, I'll take all the names that are in the Patreon and they'll each get one ticket per dollar that they pledge. And so we'll do a drawing live on our next episode for the winner. And for some of the other prizes that we'll have in addition to the box.
Sounds good.
So if you, and there's really only two tiers. There's $1 and $5. It's not that expensive. So for as little as $5, as little as $1, you can get the $200 Indomitus box set. Just look up TFG Radio on Patreon, sign up. If you can do the $5 level, you get in the Facebook group. So you'll have that where we have, I usually put, other than the Facebook group, I also on the Patreon put some of our outtakes from, if you only listen to the podcast, I put some of the outtakes, some of the conversations we have before we officially start the show.
Gordrak saying you can't raffle on Patreon is against the rules, but that's why we're going to use the, people who are members of the Facebook group for the raffle and not people who are our Patreons. It just happens to be very similar people.
Yes. So we'll do that. And, but so in addition to stuff, we put that, there's a picture of John in his new, cross 40K.
No.
And reenactment.
It's not a thing. I don't recognize the existence of this photo.
It's great.
No. Gordrak also asked if I got any Indomitus boxes, and I did get one. So if you weren't listening last time, you get off my t-shirt. I like this t-shirt. And it's only like 3 weeks old, so I don't know what you're talking about. It's not like you've seen me wear it before.
But thank you for subbing.
Yeah, but thank you for subbing. You only sub so you can trash talk, motherfucker. So I did get one. And if you missed the last show, I was really salty about the fact that GW has not been producing enough product for their releases, period. Like, it's been a problem for, I don't know.
For a while.
For a while.
It's not a recent problem.
And it started before COVID. So like you can't use that as an excuse.
They did open a new warehouse.
Yeah.
Recently.
Great. Which is filled with what? I don't know.
Nothing right now.
And so I was like epically ranting, and I ranted on with memes and on the show and all kinds of stuff. And a lot of people reached out to me and were like, "Hey, I have an Indominus box. Like, I'm happy to offer you one." Like, Tony from Shark Tank reached out to me. Both of the stores opening up here in Pasadena reached out to me. Both Odyssey and
Gameology.
Both the people reached out to me, and other stores too, and like a lot of other people also, like just friends. So I did end up getting one, but only one. I wasn't going to get three like I was before, because one, that seems super greedy considering there's a national shortage or worldwide shortage of boxes. And the other reason being, it just didn't feel right to me. Like
Just be glad you weren't one of the scalpers.
I would never. Like, if I wanted the three boxes, I wanted the three boxes because I wanted most of the stuff in the three boxes. And sell the stuff individually on eBay I didn't need. But I was not going to scalp. And screw the scalpers. Like, seriously. So.
Well, yeah, because even though they limited to, I think, one box per, they still ran out, and there were still scalpers selling them for, like, $300-$400 or wanting that much. And then literally less than a week later, GW announced that they were going to do a made-to-order.
Yeah.
So we don't know how many.
A good troll, but, I mean, really, just make enough of this shit to begin with. Or slow down your release schedule so that you can keep up. Like,
they should release more Age of Sigmar. Then they can catch up on 40K.
It's true, because nobody buys that crap.
They always have plenty of Age of Sigmar stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, so that's the context for that comment. Yes, I did end up getting one. I guess I can get it on Saturday. I can go pick it up, I think is what they said. So.
Yeah, Saturday's the official release date, so everybody's picking up their
stuff. You know what I didn't do? I forgot to order the
books?
Yeah, the chapter approved books. Oh,
God.
Like the missions and stuff. I bet I can just buy one over there. I doubt they're...
I don't think those are out. Out of stock. I don't think so. But you did mention Shark Tank. For those that know, as the shirt I'm wearing, Hammerhead Games has been a sponsor of ours for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And they just opened a store called Shark Tank.
In Sacramento.
It's Sacramento. So if you visit hammerheadgames.net, they have a link to the store.
And you look for the Shark Tank on Facebook, I think.
I think so.
I don't.
I'm part of it. I don't remember what the name is.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a private group or is it a public group. I don't know, but you can definitely look for the store. The store is opening. Yeah. And Tony from Hammerhead Games has been a huge supporter of ours for years. Like when 8th Edition came out, and we did the 8-hour stream day.
He
sent like all kinds of stuff from Hammerhead, tokens, all kinds of things, and he was like, "Just give it away." So we gave away tons of stuff that day from him. And he wasn't expecting we didn't charge us anything for it at all. He just sent it all to us. I didn't even pay shipping. I had this giant bag of stuff on my doorstep, and we got to give it all away, and it was awesome. So he's been a big supporter of our show. Sometimes he's in the chat. So if you can throw him business, throw him business.
Yeah, so congratulations to Tony on that. Hopefully things will pick up once all this blows over. And things go to semi-normalcy. But we have another contest coming up, but I'll mention that towards the end of the show. That's a bit more involved.
No, we don't.
But that's more for everybody.
Oh, it doesn't involve me in any way, right? Like reenacting?
No, that's end of the year.
Well, that's our end. The haiku thing? We don't do that anymore.
Yes.
We retired it. There weren't any good haikus left.
That's annual at this point.
So many of the haikus are trash, we're going to skip it.
Yes. No, they're the best. And you know, it's the best because I put that tag on it in Twitter, and then I get random like likes and messages in regards to the haiku. It's best.
Man, you're getting haiku nerds to watch the show?
No, but or at least to
so much.
to listen to the episode or go on Twitter and see what it's all about. But speaking of the new
Twitter, I feel so dirty.
We have a Twitter, but it just all it does is retweets when the episodes come out.
Twitter is such a ridiculous platform.
It's
the
weird.
The older I get, the more I'm getting curmudgeon-y about it. It's just come on, like it's so stupid. This person with a blue check mark who has 70,000 followers tweets something and it's like news. Who cares what you tweeted to 70,000 people who think like you?
Someone did call our show the was it Statler and Waldorf of the who were the two Muppets, the old man Muppets?
Is it you and I? The old Muppets.
Basically, yes. Nice. That's what they called our show.
I'm okay with it, whatever.
More or less what it is.
Those are the best Muppets.
Yes, I once watched a 30-minute video of just their trolling of the show.
To pick as an adult to watch the Muppets, and you're being honest, you'd only watch those Muppets. Okay, maybe the Swedish Chef. Somebody said that in the chat. The Swedish Chef gets Muppets, but he gets old really fast. Like the bits with the Swedish Chef get old. If it like it just keeps going and going and going forever. But those old guys are the best. Absolutely. I'm so fine with that. We should add it in our tagline.
I told him it was going to be our tagline.
Especially this episode because I don't know if Danny's showing up anytime soon, so it's just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Well, it's moving on. So there's a lot of info coming out. We're recording on a Thursday. The new edition drops on Saturday. So things that we've seen so far, the Monday after our last episode, the points dropped for everything, mm-hmm. including Forge World. Mm-hmm. There were a number of
what world?
Units.
Can't Forge keep world. Things in stock world? Which is a joke that works for both companies.
Funny you say that, because a lot of stuff is now missing from Forge World. Or not missing, but they're not in the points.
Did they just ship it all to China and those people are selling it for them, or what?
You can't use it if they can't. Even if they make it, you can't use it. So, like for instance, like there's a Death Corps list that adjusts all the points, but there's no points for Renegades and Heretics or the Elysian Drop Troops.
Oh,
or
Adam.
For those ones, I know. I have to play them as regular guard, which is fine because then I have more weapons I can use. If I play them
as regular guard, then you actually have a chance of winning, so you won't have an excuse when you lose.
No.
For all these events that we're going to go to.
Eventually. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll have an index list or codex, index codex or codex by the time we start playing again. But things like that. The Charybdis is not in that list. Which is funny because they still make that model.
All the people who bought Charybdis in the beginning of 8th.
Well, luckily I sold mine.
You did?
And by sold, I mean the guy I lent it to kept it for like a year and then just gave me money for it.
Okay, well, that's fair. It's not like you're going to use it, right?
At the time, no. He had an idea to use it and then just never returned it.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I hear, it was pretty trashed by that time anyway.
Nice.
So, the Charybdis
is out. Put it in a box after you lost a game of Stomp on it?
I wouldn't be surprised. It's a bit more sturdy, though. It has all those spikes. I don't know, John, is there anything that stuck out to you from the points?
Yeah, Custodes didn't get screwed, and mobility is big. And I think Custode bikes might be a decent list again. I said that on 40K today or earlier this week.
Yeah.
Also, like, I think that's a good list. The more and more I look at it, the more and more I listen to people talking about it, and the more I look at the things, I'm like, yeah. Mobility is definitely big, which is why I bought the 3 Impulsors. And why I was pissed that I'm not going to have 9 of the Outrider bikes from the Indomitus set.
God. I'm pretty sure there's people out there that will sell their half. Or are selling their half.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I also don't want to eBay scalp shit. So that was my takeaway. My biggest takeaway was that. Is there's a couple of people that did not get huge hits. Knights didn't get too big of hits, but the best knights did. Like the Crusader got wrecked.
Yeah, I think the Gallant's a bunch of points now too.
The Gallant isn't bad, but the Crusader got hit hard. Wardens got hit hard. But the interesting thing is, you can still apparently still build a 5 knight list.
Okay. I see a lot of people moving
three to wardens, a gallant, and three wardens for the Gatling cannon and fist guys. Although you take Gatling cannon and sword because it's cheaper. Gallant and what was the other one? I don't think it was a crusader because they're so expensive, and it's definitely not one of the Indomitus classes. It's definitely not the Castellan or the Valiant. Although the Castellan is Raven Castellan is actually good again, although it's still very costly. The Acheron, the big flamer Forgewood Knight.
Yeah,
that thing's awesome on a short board. 17-inch move if you give it the right house and warlord traits. 17-inch move because of it can advance and shoot if it's Raven. And then 18-inch flamer. And you can use advanced Lance Rider, and you can use full tilt for charge first turn. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, I was curious about, because a lot of people, when we were first seeing the rules and stuff, was they were saying how knights were screwed.
Yeah.
But I
think that they're not going to be what they were, which was like, you're going to find knights in rounds 5 and 6 you'll have to fight. I think that they'll win. They might go undefeated the first day of a big event and then lose pretty quickly second day.
Okay. So there's still a gatekeeper.
But then it'll also depend on, like, if you're going deep into a meta where it's MSU,
mm-hmm.
how much anti-tank are you going to bring?
Oh, right.
On the opposite side of that, if things like Dreadnoughts are actually really good, like people were saying they are, well, then there are going to be things out there to kill your knights. So I think it really depends on how the meta develops, and we don't have any idea how the meta develops. You know, we're
Yeah, that might be more regional.
Yeah, I think so too.
Even more than before, because there's just, like, I'm trying to build a list. One of the lists I'm trying to build is a guard list, because I'm going to use Renegades basically. But I want to play an armored fist list. Do I put in Ogryns? If I put in Ogryns, they're like the only thing on foot. Like a unit. So it kind of defeats the purpose for me. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at one list that someone had where it was like 3 tank commanders, but they all were demolishers, chimeras, a few chimeras, armored sentinels, things like that. So I don't know how good. I know they'll be fast, especially on a shorter board. And they're tough because they're like the tanks are T8. I did a list that had all that, but also had like 5 units of special weapons guys, all with plasma or melta. And then because you can put them in reserve and you put 5 units in because they're only 2 CP each for like, I mean, 2 power level.
Right.
For only like, I don't know, 3, I think. So you can do basically all those units for like 1 or 2 CPs, depending mm-hmm. on how many I put. So then I can just bring them in whenever, and I can either use it for board control to, like, if I took one of the secondaries that's basically, you know, 1 unit in each table quarter.
Right.
Or I can use them for anti-tank or anti-infantry or anti-heavy infantry, something like that, depending what the loadout is.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And it saves those small suicide units for later.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they can come in on turns, like, 4 and 5 after turn 3.
It's also going to be interesting to watch, like, if Space Wolves are actually decent because of the Dreadnought thing or because the Terminator thing, because they can take units of Terminators that have Storm Shields and Storm Bolters.
That's funny.
Which is crazy. Like, I mean, it's cool, but it's, like, crazy. Like, I just don't know where it's going to go, which is nice.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I don't know if that list that I'm making, because my list also includes 2 Wyverns and 2 Deathstrike Manticores.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like 2d6 shots. Then the Wyverns are 4d6. You know, 1 is strength 4, 1 is strength 10. You know, if I have 2 units of those, I'm playing against hordes, forget it.
Right.
With the demolishers. But then, you know, I don't know how good that is. And it's a lot of uncertainty right now for me anyway.
The Marine lists I've been doing, like regular Marines, not Space Wolves, regular Marines mm-hmm. I've been doing, like, I still take 2 Thunderfire cannons because they're still good. Like, why would you not?
Yeah.
And then, because the Scorpiuses are elites, you can still take a Scorpius Whirlwind or 2. And there's still plenty of space for guys in Impulsors. And the other thing with Space Wolves is interesting jumping back to them real quick, is Blood Claws and Razorbacks. Because Blood Claws are still good, even though they're mini Marines. And yeah. Razorbacks are good because they're armor and you can move them and they can give them the double assault cannons.
Yes.
So, if MSU is coming back, and if speed really is good, you have a chance to have, early on, a bunch of armies you didn't really see getting played a lot, getting some play. You might see some Blood Angel stuff out there. You might see some Space Wolf stuff out there. With Ravenwing and Deathwing, you might see some Dark Angel stuff out there. I mean, they're actually Traitor Marines, but you might see them out there on the tabletop somewhere. I don't know about CSMs, though. CSMs just seem hammered and screwed. Like
that's the other list I'm looking at, and I don't even know where to start. Defilers are so cheap and so tough. Do I go all in on, you know, running three defilers with something?
Right?
Oh yeah, because heavy support are two now.
I mean, you could get more, but then you're paying for it.
Yeah, so I can tell. Do I take two of those? Do I take Mauler Fiends instead? Because Chaos Space Marines are actually there's a lot of heavy support options. They're actually pretty good.
Yeah, but you only can get two in the battalion, so they got really screwed, in my opinion, on that.
Yeah, so do I go that? Do I go Mauler Fiends instead with the speed because they move 14 and they can? I think when they charge or they move, they can ignore terrain basically. Do I go biker heavy with how fast bikes go?
Mm-hmm.
Do I go? What was the other option? Oh, one thing I'm thinking of is because of the board control, do I take Dreadclaws again? Because the Dreadclaws are only 130. Well, they're only 130.
But they can fly around, so.
But unlike Dread Drop Pods, yes, they can fly around, and it's something they have to deal with depending what my secondaries are. So do they want to waste the shots at a flying Dreadclaw that can just fly away if you assault it and don't kill it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe, but I don't have any faith that Chaos Space Marines came out of this very well.
I think it's going to – the only durable units are fucking Nurgle units, basically. And I don't really want to play. I want to play my Black Legion. So I don't know if I have to go back to Horde Cultists along with – I probably have to, along with other strong units.
But Cultists are so much worse than just Guardsmen.
Everything else.
Dan joined us, by the way, everybody.
But I'm not comparing to a cult. I don't care about Guardsmen. All I care are they better for me than Chaos Space Marines? That's my other option.
Do we know if the what is it? The Crimson, whatever.
Do they still
get extra CP or no?
Yes. If anything that generates extra CP still applies. So if I take Abaddon and make him my Warlord, I get my +2 CPs.
So Red Corsairs might not be bad because they also have the advance and charge trait.
Right.
That does make regular kind of standard CSM better because they can quickly get across the board and get that, like, you know, you get the 6 plus D6, mm-hmm. you get the 2D6 charge, right? All of a sudden, a squad goes way farther than people think, and that's great for board control. Right.
And their transports are cheaper than the Primaris hover tank guys. Like, it's way cheaper for a Rhino than an Impulsor.
Yeah, we were just talking, 75.
Danny, before you joined us, how like Blood Claws and Razorbacks might not be terrible because Blood Claws are good because of the assault factor, which if you're advanced charged Red Corsairs, you might not be that bad either. I don't think you're Blood Claw level because of the attacks.
No, but it's still...
And a Rhino's not as good as a Razorback, but if you want to build a Chaos Space Marine list, that might be your way to go. You know? It might be...
More Rhino? Do I put Berserkers in there?
Berserkers are expensive.
Yeah, I mean, they are mean in combat, but I feel that's like a distraction Carnifex. You take like a min squad in a Rhino and shove them up a flank and your opponent either has to waste resources killing them or deal with them deleting a unit or two.
It's really hard.
Well, that's why, Danny, I was talking about maybe taking one or two, Dreadclaws because they're 130 points.
Is that confirmed from the new Forge World points?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 130. They don't pay any extra for their gun or anything like that. And then you just put them in the backfield. And depending what secondary I took, if I take the one, basically ground control, where, you know, I have to control four corners or be in four corners, then they have the same option. They
corners
have to
or deal quarters.
Quarters. When I say corners.
You say corners.
That'd so be if, idea.
That'd be demonstrably worse.
Yes. It is chaos, though.
Yeah. So I think if you're going to build a chaos list, the place you start is choosing a heavy, because you only take two, and that's their best slots.
Yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, two Defilers isn't bad, because they are cheap, and you're going to want other stuff to help out that army. But I don't know what else you take. Like, your Terminators don't get Storm Shields, so they're not as good as Terminators for Loyalist Marines. I'm just happy we're actually talking about Terminators in reality for once.
For their points, they're great. I mean,
well, yeah, they're much cheap. They're cheaper than the Loyalist version. But if you just need them to stand on an objective and just be annoying.
And that's what they do. I mean, because if they're an objective, especially if you can get one that's in cover, you know, or one plus save, right? Maybe one plus save, negative one to hit, right? With the five plus plus, you know, and they still fight and shoot okay. It's not great, but it's, you know, not bad either by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, for sure. But I keep coming back to things in my head, and then I keep realizing, no, that's a heavy support choice.
Yeah, the two heavy support choices is hard.
Havocs, no.
Yeah.
I mean, two of Blitz squads, but then you got to kind of build for them because you either need to get them rerolls or you need to protect them because they're so points heavy. Yeah. I mean, they do great work, and then you get to have the fun of having to roll for them one at a time, each one, for everything.
Yeah, the issue with the, if I did Crimson Slaughter would be the, especially if I wanted to do two detachments.
Red Corsair?
Yeah, Red Corsair. No, Red Corsair. If I want to do Red Corsair, then the issue is the fact that I have to pay for that extra detachment, and that takes away from the command points you get from running Red Corsair.
But maybe that's where it's at. Sorry, Danny, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we're probably going to say the same thing. I mean, you're still coming out ahead. Yeah, because you're getting two detachments but still have 12 CPs, right? That's good.
Right.
Yeah. That is actually something that's interesting to look at, because you can add those heavies that you really want. And really, it's a wash because you're Red Corsairs.
Okay.
Yeah, and you take 3 5-man squads and you give them chain swords, right? And they're just there to hide. And then, you know, mid to late game, they're just all of a sudden they go, you know, 12, 18 inches across the board, you know, just be real fucking annoying.
Yeah, before all this, Danny, we were talking about the points, when the points were shown to everybody and... Mm-hmm. And what we thought were like the biggest thing about the points. And I just mentioned how some units, like for Forge World, especially for Chaos, a lot of units are missing. That's why I mentioned the Charybdis. which is funny because they still make the model.
Venerable Chaplain Dread.
Oh, I'm sure you're sad about that, John.
Yeah. Fuck those guys. Yeah, I haven't seen
them. You know what I am happy about? I never actually built mine.
I almost bought two of them from Danny Kwan.
I have all the arms and stuff for the ones I was going to do, and then for the one I was going to do for the Astralame double Lascan missile launcher Grey Knight one, which actually that's still not a bad option, especially with the way terrain's working now. And Astralame Dreadnought for Grey Knights isn't bad, but the rest of the Grey Knights kind of got nerfed a bit. I didn't actually build either of those, so I can just turn them into Space Wolf Dreads because Space Wolf Dreadnoughts sound cool. Right now,
yeah.
And I already have Bjorn and Murderfang.
Murderface.
And I think I have a third Space Wolf Dread. But I don't think I built it as a Wolfen Dread. And Wolfen Dreads sound like they might be cool. So we'll see how I do that.
I mean, Space Wolves have a lot of different dreads. So you could do kind of a dread-based army with them that's not too bad. I mean, at this point, I mean, it's the beginning of an edition. So you never know what's actually fucking good.
Yeah.
You could show up with the list and raffle stomp a bunch of people and be like, oh man, I thought these were funsies.
I just took a Dreadnought list. I didn't know it would be good.
All I do is put my Orc Canwall on the table.
Oh, I think the Leviathan's like almost, I want to say 500 points, but it's a lot of points.
The Storm, the double Storm Cannon Array one went up like 50, I think.
50 points?
Yeah, but it's still worth it. Something like that. It went up. But I think it's still worth it.
Yeah, because you can't tag it and stop it from doing its thing.
Yeah, it's still, I think, what is it, 20 shots? It's still ridiculous.
Yeah, it's 20 shots.
I think it's easily the best weapons platform in the game for shooting still.
It's a lot of shots at strength.
Daredevil might be instead, because it has a lot more, Daredevil has a lot more guns.
It's more expensive, though, isn't it?
No, I think the Leviathan's more.
Leviathans are more expensive. Really? They're like the most expensive Dreadnought kit, I thought.
Well, I'm glad I didn't get rid of my Leviathan though. And my double.
Well, no, because I think the Storm Cannon with the chassis is I want to say almost 500 points.
I thought it was like 450.
No, I think it's more now. I'd have
that's
to check.
Still a lot.
That's still almost a quarter.
That's a knight
of your army.
Yeah.
That's a knight. Well.
We did talk a little bit about knights, Danny. I was talking about how you can still get five knights in the list. The five big ones.
Oh, were they all melee?
No. The wardens and melee knights, yeah. But the crusader went up too many points. It's not really worth it. But a Raven Castellan seems to be okay now again. So.
Yeah, with the advance and still shoot, and that's, I mean, that's a lot of movement.
I wish we could do a stream this weekend because I would love to put my knights on the table. Do a Castigator.
Give them a go.
Yeah. Castigator Valiant, something else.
Yeah, not the Valiant, but I think the Raven Castellan could come back.
You know, the Harpoon.
I always chase that, but
really, I like the flamer on that thing. The configuration cannon's amazing.
It's great, but I was saying with the Castellan might have its time in the sun again, just because if we actually really do move to like a multi-wound infantry, lots of vehicle or hard target things, that's what the Castellan loves, right? Like, that's absolutely everything it wants to see. It's like, holy shit, you brought transports?
Yeah, I can see a Castellan putting down three Razorbacks easy. From your Space Wolves and Razorbacks, like, not even a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing was when I was looking at Chaos Knight lists, of doing, similar to the list I sent Adam to SoCal with, of like the, nigh unkillable Chaos Castellan,
right?
Especially with the new stuff in Engine War, right? You can make it even more resilient. Right. Or more accurate. So it becomes like, okay, here's just, this really beefy model that is just amazing at killing anything that's a hard target. And then you have a bunch of little knights or, the armingers to kind of clear up whatever. Or since it's chaos, then you just accept losing some CP and taking shit with warp time and, a possessed bomb or whatever.
Right.
Where did we land in the chat about, summoning with Chaos Knights? We landed that it wasn't that great of an idea, right?
Well, other than Tom being confused about how summoning works on points, reinforcement points.
I brought that up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I played against it, it kind of worked because all he had were three knights and he just summoned units to basically be roadblocks. For my
three
my
knights. He close summoned combat. Like, what is that? He summoned like 600 points worth of stuff.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. He summoned 30 plague bearers that I had to chew through, and then he summoned a bunch of nurgling bases that I had to chew through. It was fucking annoying.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. The only problem with that list is if you run up against a list that can kill you at range.
Oh yeah, which I had.
Yeah.
The problem was I went second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I had gone first, it would have been game over.
Yeah, I think that I think this knight summoning list can do a lot of work. It can catch a lot of people off guard. But I think you run into that problem of if you go against like Tau or just, certain space marine builds, it just has so much ranged attack that, you're going to lose a knight a turn, then, by turn three, you're done.
Why is it always Tau comes up as a counter to everything I want to do?
I just hate it.
Can we just get rid of them as a faction? We don't need the
as a Tyranny player, trust me.
You don't need Trade Federation in 40K room.
Trade Federation.
There was like a week where I was like, oh my god, I don't have to be scared of Tau as Tyranids anymore. And then it's like, oh, they still get to Overwatch like the way they do it. So I was like, never mind.
YOLO.
Back into the shame closet. Okay.
So John,
I just have to play Tau.
You'll hate it.
I mean, yeah, but will I win?
Maybe. Probably. I don't know. I mean, against Scrubs. Tau is one of those armies that if you are really good with them, like Brian Pullen, right? Yeah. Like, it just seems impossible to beat. Yeah. And if you're okay with them, you'll do fine until you get to a good player who really knows how to fuck you, and you're just going to get outplayed.
For sure, Jeff was going to do well last year's Bay Area Open with them. I mean, he did do well because he only lost one game. But when it comes to Jeff, when you say do well, you expect him to be like undefeated and win to the end, like at least get to the finals.
Yeah. I think he had just had a bad. I think his game he lost. I thought his dice just shit the bed, right? Like he just rubber banded, you know, on something. So.
Yeah, I don't think I can handle playing a game like an army like that.
Well, it's the same thing with knights, right? Like this is why I usually like hordes, is because when you rely on volume, right? Like the law of averages. Well, yeah. The law of averages is on your side when you're rolling like 200 dice in your attack, you know, in your shooting or assault phase. But when you're rolling like, I don't know, 40 and they all need to count or most of them need to count, it's just you have one bad roll and it's like, well, fuck me.
Yeah. So John, real quick, the Imperial Leviathans only like just under 400 points for storm cannons and heavy bolters. Or flamers. I think it's either flamers or meltas.
Right.
The chaos equivalent, the butcher cannon array, instead of like the storm cannon is like 50 points each. The butcher cannon is 75 points.
The butcher cannon array is better though, isn't it?
It has it's only 8 shots each, but it's a higher strength.
Right.
Better AP, I think, or worse AP. Can't remember.
I don't remember.
But I remember it being a higher strength. And does 2 damage, and then it has the -2 to leadership if they kill a model in the, in the unit.
I mean, I don't think it deserves...
Points?
What did you say?
He wants to know about the Tyranid points.
I don't think the Leviathan...
You can make it that show if you want me to look them all up. But,
the Chaos Leviathan doesn't deserve to be that much more expensive. Like, the good version of it doesn't deserve to be that more expensive, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it is. But yeah, that's what I was saying. I think that the Imperial Leviathan still has a place in lists. You got to build around it, but you had to build around it before.
Right.
Like, you couldn't just be like, here's my list, and I'm going to plug in a Leviathan for 400 points, because, like, you don't have 400 points lying around. Like, who builds a list and is like, I got 400 points left over?
Playing Tyranids right now, all I tell you is I'm playing all of my lists. All of my list planning is 426 down, because that's a Neurothrope, one min squad of Rippers, and max Hive Guard with Impaler Cannons. Because it's like, why would I not bring...
That. Yeah, but you're down those points because they're good.
Right, but that's plug and play, right? Like, it's basically, like, I mean, it's just, like, it doesn't matter. Are you building Horde? Are you building Monster Mash?
You're
like,
still taking that no matter what.
Yeah, you're taking a Chronos Patrol with that because you just want, you know, up to 24 strength 8 shots, ignore cover, ignore line of sight, AP -2, damage D3, that hit on 3+, reroll 1s, and explode on 6s, right? Like,
yeah, that's a lot of talking, and it all sounded good.
It is. That's probably the only good thing in Tyranids, though. Like, legitimately, like, high level.
Texans aren't going to be good because they can shoot.
They're good, but, like,
shooting combat.
They're a little... They got a... I mean, everything got a price increase, but they're kind of the DACA effects build. It's just... It's good, but I don't know how great Strength 6 is going to be anymore if we see lots of transports and less infantry. You can go to the Strength 7 AP -1 gun, but then you only get 12 shots each, and they only have 4, so you're only getting 6 hits, right? Like, you're mathematically, the Devourers were always better because of volume of fire, and I think that's still true. I have to rerun the math on different targets, but, you know, I think that will be annoying for people to deal with, but I just don't see it putting up to things like, you know, Space Marines, right? Certain CSM builds, Tau, right? Like, I don't see that really going muzzle to muzzle with the heat I can make for other lists and be like, fuck yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see what else. They haven't really made an announcement regarding the units that were not listed. So we'll see.
Legends.
Yeah. That's what we're assuming. So,
oh man, everybody's like, man, they're putting things in Legends, and people are gonna be like crying over Legends.
Well, I know I am. I will see what happens with my Renegades and Heretics.
They'll get a codex.
We also got the FAQ the same day we got the points, the various FAQs. There's a few things, interesting things in there. One of them, especially that someone noticed, was the wording for the Eliminators.
Why? I didn't hear about this.
Because they changed the first sentence, and in the original, the first sentence is what gave them the with the execution arounds, I think it is. The first sentence basically said they can shoot out of LOS. Right. They can ignore line of sight.
Yeah.
Now that part's not even in the new sentence.
Hmm.
So So if you go by raw, then they no longer ignore line of sight.
Well, yeah, if that's not in there, then it's not in there. Like,
so I don't know if that's, a lot of people are questioning whether that was the intent or not. Because
people think it's a typo?
Well, they think it's just a copy and paste, because there are a lot of other units where they have that same wording. Like, we replace the first sentence of the paragraph with this.
Fair enough.
So they think it might be a copy and paste error, but we'll see. A lot of people hope it's not, actually. I know, I hope it's not.
Right.
But things like that. I don't know if there's anything else, Danny, or if that jumped out from you from the FAQs.
Not that I saw specifically. To be fair, you know, I basically have been disappeared to Oregon for a while and then came back. I still haven't, like, super caught up with everything. I did notice with the Tyranids things, like, we didn't really have any big changes, right. Except it appears Synapse isn't changed because they didn't FAQ it. So that means we're still fearless. So Horde's still good.
Yes. I don't think anything big on Chaos that I can remember. Or that at least stuck out. The stuff that got to me and to a lot of people was the Eliminators one. There's a few other things, but I don't think anything major. We'll probably get either a day one or week one or two FAQ, since there are already a lot of questions regarding the rules.
Again, FAQ Saturday morning.
Yeah. As you know, in regards to what people have seen and already people talking about.
Smites.
There is that for both Thousand Suns and Grey Knights. It looks like
they're not going to get unlimited smites.
It looks like they're going to suffer the penalty like everyone else.
Which
sucks for Grey Knights.
Yeah, it sucks more for Grey Knights because, like, Thousand Suns have the advantage of having a bunch of targeted smites to pull from a bunch of different disciplines, and Grey Knights don't. Right?
Well, they have the plus one also, Thousand Suns, or a helm or something?
Yeah, they have a bunch of different ways to get bonuses.
Yeah.
But it's more of what made Thousand Suns and Chaos in general, who can do smite spam so well. It's just like there's a bunch of different disciplines that psychers have access to, so you don't have to bring in different, you know, allies or things like that to get access to different smites, right? Like, Tyranids, basically, if you really want to run a, like, smite heavy list, you have to bring in GSC and even Guard for the psychers because you just need access to things that aren't smite because you only have smite and psychic scream otherwise. So it's like, yay, I can bring 8 psychers, but I only have smite and 1 offensive spell.
Yeah. I don't know what else in terms of the FAQ. I didn't really realize what else was that stuck out to me from the FAQs. Nothing really. It looked like it was a lot of just clarifications with how they're going to act with the new edition.
There's a lot of very common sense stuff that people were reading about all over the internet, and you're like, did you expect it to go any other way? Like, come on.
People complain on the internet now? When does this start happening?
You weren't in the woods that long. You cannot remember this.
You were gone.
Yeah.
And we also,
I can't remember. Was I clean shaven our last time I was on the show?
I don't think any of us, I think you guys have been clean shaven in months. I have to shave because if I don't, I look like an idiot.
I shave about once a week.
I actually came home from work today and shaved because Natalie was like, you look dumb in a mask if you haven't shaved.
Okay.
And I was like, and I looked at myself in the mirror. I went to the restroom at work and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh man, she's totally right. I look like an idiot. So I came home from work and shaved.
I get started about wearing masks because I had to go to the doctor's today and it was horrible.
I've been wearing it every day at work. It's fine, whatever.
There was a guy in the waiting room that was wearing his mask. But every time he wanted to talk, he would pull the mask down.
Oh God. I think my favorite mask,
I'm like, all right, I'm dead.
Yeah. My favorite one was watching, I was at the grocery store, I got my mask on. I convinced my kid to be wearing his mask, right?
Oh, nice.
And, I see just this woman, like with her mask on, with her nose exposed, of course.
Yeah.
And literally sits there, pulls her mask down, goes like this. And like rubs her nose like really hard and then starts touching things. I was just like, oh, well, this is why they say disinfect your hands.
You know what's funny is like even before coronavirus, if somebody was to like pick their nose and then start touching the keypads of the things in front of me at the market, I'd have been like, what the fuck?
Really, what COVID showed us is that very few Americans knew how to properly wash their hands.
It's true. The best part is because at summer camp, everybody's like, man, how are you going to get the kids to keep their masks on? How are you going to get kids to keep their masks on, right? That's like one of the things that people talk about on the internet all the time about schools reopening and stuff. We've had like no issue with kids keeping their masks on.
Yeah, my son started going back to school, and he's, you know, 4, and he wears a mask, like, except when he's eating.
Because kids, you just tell them, hey, you got to wear this mask because it keeps you safe. And kids go, oh, it keeps me safe? Cool.
And plus, it's like, oh, my teacher's doing it. The other kids are doing it. Well, I should be doing it.
Everybody's got a mask on. It's fine. The problem we found is that they do the paper ones. They rip them all the time. The littlest ones rip them all the time. And we have to give them new ones all the time because they're always like pulling it down when they go to ride their bike, because we don't make them wear it when they ride their bike because they're not near anybody else. Oh. And they're breathing heavily. So they, like, instead of taking them off, they put them down under here, and they're stretching it and ripped all the time. Or they go to eat lunch, and they put it down, and as they're chewing, it's constantly extending it and they're breaking them. But they wear them. If a toddler can wear them, you can wear them.
So, moving on. So we also got to look at the missions. Anyone that follows Frontline Gaming,
what missions?
They noticed that a certain someone wrote an article in regards to missions.
Hoopla about missions?
Hoopla! Some excitement.
Some razzle-dazzle. There shouldn't be. I think that was the point of what I wrote, right?
There, you play missions in this game?
I mean, I just try to kill everybody else's models. I play knights. If I haven't tabled you by turn 4, I've lost, so.
Take the Genghis Khan approach?
Yes.
But I was wondering, since seeing the missions, since they're out in the wild, what you guys thought about some of the things. Like, for me, it was the fact that they actually recommended a objective size.
I thought that was big and nice of them. I mean, I don't know why they hadn't done it before, especially because they could produce within like 3 months, like GW objective markers. Here's our, you know.
Well, they make the limited.
In reality, we'd been saying 40 millimeters like the standard for years.
For LVO, yes.
Or just in general, like even back in 5th edition, I remember people being like, just use a 40 millimeter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good. It's just, you know, standardization really helps, especially if you're, you know, GW wants to grow the game, right? Like, they want to expand the market. Have standardization helps, because the last thing you want is for some, you know, basically all of our experiences of playing early in, like, 3rd edition, where it's, like, basically whatever game club you're going to plays the game differently, plays tournaments differently, right? And it's really actually, like, an impediment to getting deeper into the hobby. I think I probably would have been more competitive when I was much younger if there was a standardized set, because it was weird to literally go to like Arrow Hobbies in Santa Monica or then go to like the Battle Bunker and be playing different games, right? With radically different ideas of how it works.
Drastically different games at that time. You could join the, what was it called? The SoCal GW League?
It was the SoCal GW League, yes.
And those, they were playing like practically a different game. Like, there'd be guys in Game Empire while I was working playing SoCal GW League games. And they'd show up for Saturday for the tournament. And I'm like, how do you even know what you're doing? This game is so drastically different than the game you literally just played Tuesday night for your SoCal GW League game.
It was like that with fantasy too, especially towards the end, where you had all the like different like comp systems. Where it's just like, what comp system are you using? Oh, wow, that's a completely different game because these armies basically don't exist anymore.
Right.
And you have to build like – where they nerf vampire accounts. I'm like, as a vampire account player, I was like, what? But without my list in existence, so many other lists don't need to exist. Or also, so many lists are good, right? It's just a totally different game.
Like all corn demons.
Oh, God. Although I do remember, I think it was the first, my first game of 8th. It was with Brandon Kading. I was testing my wood elves. And it was with the new spells. I remember he was playing his demons, who also did horrible things to me in 7th. But I cast the Amber Spear, right? Like one of the like nukes. And I rolled high enough to where it was basically like a super cannonball and just one-shotted like what his greater demon, like in general. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, well, best game. Rewrap.
It's like that guy who always used to quit whenever you'd kill his giant. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, I do.
And people, that was their strategy when they had to play him for league games. If I just kill your giant on turn 1, you'll quit. And I get a win.
It's like people kill your Castellan on turn one.
That doesn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had that happen. That's
almost happened to me, but I think it was against Tom. He left it with like one or two wounds after turn one against Tao when I was playing against Tao.
That's still pretty bad.
Have it down that's not so good.
Hey, I still won that game.
When you could give us a 3++ invulnerable, that should never happen. There's a reason that got nerfed real fast. I don't even begrudge that nerf. That was necessary.
That's 100%. The one thing I miss. I wish we can still do. I mean, honestly, is seeing the Brohammer Iron Hands list against the Castellan pre-nerf list to see how it would go.
They played that game. Oh no, I think it was Eldar.
It was Eldar. They did beginning of Aeth Yunnari.
Yes, with Leviathan list. I think that one, that list won.
The Leviathan?
Yeah, it was Nadavati and Siegler.
They should have done my Barry open list. Against.
See, right.
You came in second, so why would they do that?
I feel like the Castellan could do a lot more work when it has a 3++ and is just nuking down everything and basically unlimited CPs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh man, the unlimited CPs were amazing. That CP farm.
I still am salty about playing Adam when the CP farm was still going. I forget. I think I was playing Khorne or Demons, but just like at one point he had 2 CP left, and by the end of the game he had like 12 again.
There was a couple of games where I played and I was just like, I have just as many CP as I started with.
It was pretty bad.
It was.
Is there anything you guys, I don't know if I know John has probably seen the missions. I don't think anything else that stood out.
Like I think they're good. I think the problem people are having with the missions, which I've said like 1,000 times at this point, I feel like, is that you can't take your 8th edition army and play these missions. You built your 8th edition army to win 8th edition ITC missions. Mm-hmm. What makes you think that army should be able to play and win these missions?
Yeah,
What would the guarantee have been that if ITC even made 9th edition missions, what guarantee do you even have that 8th edition army would be able to beat what we would have designed for 9th?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I get people are, I mean, there's some big changes, like the fact that you don't score until the start of round 2 and score is done at the start of a round, which means like, if you're going second, your bottom of 5 doesn't matter except for your secondaries, right?
Totally correct.
You know, like I get that, but what people, and you know, people are like, well, your opponent, you know, gets basically 2 turn, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but going second, especially with secondaries, being reactive in a mission is the best, right? Having the last moves, having the last board position, because there are secondaries that are scored end of game, right? So, you know, like there's a lot of value still to going second. Like I get the first turn feels really strong right now, but I think it's, you know, I still think second always has that advantage of, hey, I get to move last and do everything last in this game. And that can absolutely matter. Not to mention, you know, this is one of those things. This is funny when the rules leaked and people are like, oh my God, there's no point to being first. The attacker, this is stupid, right? Like the attacker defender, cause attacker gets no bonus and defender gets to choose like, you know, deployment and all this. It's like deployment really fucking matters, right? Like, how you dictate where the battle's going to be fought, where on the board, what side you have, how you can shield your units, especially with, there's going to be a lot more obscuring terrain out there, right? Like with the huge blind spots that are going to exist on the table, like choosing your deployment side matters a great deal. And that's worth going second for, right? Like knowing that like, my opponent gets to shoot me first, but I can basically make it to where he can only shoot one unit.
Yeah. Well, my favorite part is all the anecdotal arguments so far based on like the 8 games that people have played max. Like, I mean, come on, really. Right. You cannot claim to have played enough games to know definitively anything at this point. But my favorite anecdotes are the fact that like there are people who are like, I've played 5 games and of them, I went second in all of them and I won 4. And then there's the other people who are like, I played 5 games and I went first in all of them and won them all. And you're like, well,
yeah, that's why it's called anecdote.
You guys are canceling each other out. Like,
the plural of anecdote is not datum.
Right? Exactly. Yep. So.
Yeah, I think, I really have to look at the secondaries, because I think I would lean towards, because you pick the secondaries before you have chosen sides, before even, you know, who goes first and second. So I probably would lean more towards secondaries that allow me to score on the, basically at the end of my turn, as opposed to the top of my turn.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, and there's definitely some secondaries that are just like,
unless you go second.
But you don't know, right? When you're picking your
secondary. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
I would try to skew towards the ones that would, mm-hmm. that would be okay with me going second, or scoring at the end of my turn, not necessarily going second, but scoring at the end of my turn rather than the top.
Right.
Yeah. And I think when I'm looking at secondaries, I'm always going to probably pick, assuming like I am going, you know, if I go second, I have an avenue to victory with all of these. And if I go right. first, great, then, you know, I can still try and set that up. But I also think it depends on your list, right? If you're bringing, which a lot of people do, a heavy Alpha Strike list, then you have to pick secondaries to match that, because, you know, if that Alpha Strike fails, you're already lost, right? I don't know what you're going to do again, you know? So I think it's going to be one of those things of, I think John made his most salient point was that the reason ATC missions, especially towards the end of 8th, were so good is because we had years of feedback, right? Like, we were constantly refining, constantly tweaking. We looked at data before we had the Falcon, right? Like, I mean, those recent surveys, everything else, we were constantly – that's not me. I don't know who that was. We were constantly, like – gathering data and refining and making it better and better and better. And you know what? GW, I trust, will do the same thing, because they basically have the mechanisms that ITC has, right, to do that, which is gather data. If you see, you know, if we see that clearly going first, you win 70% of the time in recorded tournament games, adjustments need to be made, right? If certain secondaries are never being picked or rarely being picked, adjustments will be made, right? Right. Like, and I think people need to trust that this, we don't know what ninth really looks like in a year. It will be different. And I bet the missions will update to reflect the reality of what we've seen after a year of playing. Right.
Right. So, yeah.
The other thing with the ITC missions was they were the standard because everybody just used them.
Yeah.
Like, there was plenty of hate over those missions.
Oh, yeah.
And there's plenty of people who were like, I don't want to play these. And all the TOs were like, sorry. Like, this is what the biggest tournaments in the world use, so we're all going to use them.
It's the rose-colored glasses of the past, like the nostalgia of the past already. And it's just accelerated because we're in COVID, so time doesn't exist. But it's like, it's one of those things of, there's so many people who very publicly, very loudly, 6 months ago, you know, mm-hmm. 8 months ago, were like, ITC sucks. I hate, we have to play ITC, right? Yep. I hate ITC. Who's all of a sudden now are like, why aren't we playing ITC?
Right.
Right. And it's just.
The flip flop is real.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things of, you know, the ITC missions had to be refined. When we first brought them out in 8th, I mean, they were very workable. But they were nowhere near as good as they were even the next year, right? Yeah. Because we had lots of time for we had lots of feedback. We had lots of time to think. We had lots of real data to make decisions on, right? Not just, well, I think this will work. Mm-hmm. And so you have to trust that, especially in a new edition, the start of a new system, that, yeah, the first missions maybe aren't what you want, but that's two parts on GW's part. Yeah, the missions probably have some flaws in them that are going to need to get addressed later. Are they that big of flaws? Probably not. But most importantly, number two, you don't know how to fucking play this edition yet. You don't know what's good yet. And if you say you do, you're trying to sell someone a Patreon, right? Like, it's just what it is. It's
a friend of my OnlyFans.
Yeah. And so in a year, I think there will be a lot of criticism of the missions in a year, or, you know, really 6 to 8 months from now. And I think those will be more valid, because those will be data driven, right? Actual experience, and we'll know how you really operate within ninth, because in 8th, everyone thought the beginning of 8 that the Gilliman Gunline Razorback spam was the greatest list ever. No one was ever going to beat that. And it took us 4 months to figure out, oh, this is how you play 8th edition and beat that list.
And not to mention that list never won an event.
Yeah. It was a mid-table killer, right?
Yeah. Like, oh man, yeah, it would devastate people, but that was what I took to the first Barry Open. I took a Gilliman Gunline. And I raffle stomped three people and then lost the three people straight. Like that was
Remember that. Yeah, so I think people need to just chill the fuck out and play games and experiment. And again, a year from now, sure, we can. I'm sure there's going to be good, legitimate discussion about how to make the missions better.
Yeah,
like the Kingslayer max points. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm okay with some of the secondaries not being max points because sometimes you don't score them all. Yeah, you just want to get what you can get. And I think someone mentioned how many times has people gotten max points on secondary.
Yeah, how many people have gotten 42, right? How many ITC players have gotten 42 in a game, right?
Like, not very many.
No, I agree. I think it's actually smart game design to have you want to try and max out your points. These are more high risk, high reward secondaries you have to take. Do you want a good score that you can consistently get, especially if you build a list where you know I'm going to get that Warlord, right? Like, go for it. You know, are you going to get 90 plus points a game? Maybe not, but are you going to consistently get 70 points a game? 75, 80? Good enough.
Just need good enough to win, really.
True. I mean, really.
But I think that's smart game design of you can play for consistency and yeah, you might just lose out to someone who, you know, as if I'm thinking of multiple undefeated, someone who just took all the high risk, high reward ones and they blew out their opponents and got it. Yeah. Or versus you're playing a GT six rounds or a super major with, you know, 8-9 rounds. Consistency matters, right?
Yeah.
I think that's great game design. You can be really aggressive if you want and chase that fucking thrill, or you can build for consistency.
Yeah.
And especially with the way the character system works now, it's real easy to get Warlord if you build for it. Cause you don't need snipers, right? You just need a way to clear out the bubble protecting the Warlord.
It's true.
Right? Kill everything within three inches of it, and guess what? Then anything else gets to fucking murder that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing real quick, that also was a lot of people noticed, and that, Gordurak is mentioning is the GW prohibiting specialist detachments from the Vigilus books, even though they stated that everything from the Vigilus books will be, you'll be able to use.
You can use in 40K, just not match play.
That's, yes.
It's true. Unless they specifically ask about match play, they are technically correct, the best kind of correct.
I don't recall them saying specifically match play. I do remember them saying that you could use the books. The books was to be usable or valid.
They are valid.
Which they are, just not for match play.
And only the specialist attachments. Any new units or, you know, things like that, those stay.
Yeah, any new units, stratagems, or the chapter traits, things like that, those are still good. It's just the actual attachments.
You know, I think they... We're experimenting with those with the specialist detachments and don't want them in match play. And I'm fine with that because honestly, what's the number one complaint everybody has about match play? It's too complex. There's too many rule sources. Well, they cut out a whole set of rule sources.
It reminds me of War Machine when they introduced tier lists of like a way to get people to buy and use models that sucked, right? Yeah. To give them these bonuses. And then it just quickly became that it's like, oh, what tier list are you using? This is the most broken tier list you can have. And if you're not playing a tier list, why are you playing? Right? Like you're just never going to win because of those insane bonuses. And I think GW.
That was the specialist detachments.
Yeah. I think they're finally smart enough to be like, these don't work in a competitive environment, right? Like it's too many rules to balance. It's too many synergies to have to be mindful of. And there's no way we can really keep track of that.
Right.
So just nix them, make the competitive, like the hyper-competitive game simpler, right? And, you know, have at it. And I think that's great. I mean, this is some personal bias I will fully admit because I played Tyranids where we didn't get any specialist attachments. But I think, it's really nice to not have to worry about like, oh, well, I need Vigilus 1 and Vigilus 2 and my Codex and my Codex supplement to run my list where it's like, cool, you just cut out two books. That's awesome. All right.
Whatever. I need my reptorial host.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks for armies that aren't as strong. Like, although, to be fair, like, what specialist detachments did we see the most? We saw the Orc one for the Super Shock Attack gun, right? We saw the Emperor's Wrath for the double shooting, you know, artillery. Sometimes we saw the Indominus, right, from Space Marines or something like that.
Saw the what is it? The Fist one.
Yeah, the Crimson Fist one, but
no, the
Imperial Fist one.
Imperial Fist one. That one was really good.
Yeah, that was great if you were going against vehicles.
Chaos, you basically saw Raptorial Host mostly, and the Engines one.
Yeah, that's for the, basically just for the,
assault. It's for the assault, for assault the advanced charge.
Yeah, advanced charge, yeah. So, I mean, it does suck to always lose options, but I think people need to think in the broader spectrum of how that opens the game up actually to start removing some of the stuff, because it makes you look at things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, and that's the thing of, people tend to forget, it's the weird paradox of creativity that the more options you have, the less creative individuals will be, simply because you will default to what you are comfortable with because there's too many options for you to really ponder. And so you're going to get scared by the expanse of infinity, right? See the endless black and Seer's place in it. But if you have limitations, the human mind will always find ways around limitations, right? Like, that's what humans do. You put a wall in front of us, we find a way to go around the wall. Right. So when you have those limitations of, oh, I don't get to use specialist attachments, I only get to use what's in this book and this book, you will start to actually think more creatively because you have a limitation to work around and to basically say, get fucked. So, you know, the reticent bias of humans coming into play here, and it's a good thing.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious to see how that all plays out with the static deployments
and
the pre-placed objectives.
I like pre-placed objectives. I think that's...
Well, especially because they can't be placed in any terrain feature.
Yeah, I think that's just so much better. Because one of the easiest ways in every tournament game, or really any game I play, of where I can judge someone's skill level is where do they put their objectives, right? And I think that's, if you're trying to make a game that's more accessible to people and also kind of, in some ways, limits the skill cap so people don't just get absolutely destroyed immediately, but also still ensures there's plenty of player skill, because there is, then removing that is just one of those little gamey things that if you're Timmy and you're coming in, this is your first tournament, you have no fucking idea about all the theory behind objective placement. Right? Like, that's, you don't know what the fuck is going on. And you're going to get wrecked because of it, right?
Or
and
how to bid over terrain.
Right. It's just, it solves a lot of problems. It makes the games faster for setup. It makes the games more uniform, which means more reps, easier for people who don't play games kind of maniacally the way some people do, right? Especially truly competitive players do. To develop that muscle memory, it makes the game more accessible and enjoyable. And guess what? If you're actually a truly competitive player where you're legitimately good, you don't have to fucking care about little Timmy, right? You don't have to care that all of a sudden one of your little tricks is not as powerful, because you're still probably going to win anyway. Mm. So, you know, like, it sucks to lose a little bit of an edge, but if you're actually that good, that little edge shouldn't really matter.
Yeah, you also don't hear the best players complaining.
No, well,
about the missions and stuff. Like, let that sink in for a second. If the missions were really that terrible and the edition was really that bad, the best players would be all up in arms about it, and most of them are just like, adapt and change.
Well, that's why they're good players, right? Like, the best players don't complain about, you know, we can all make fun of Adepticon for sometimes they're kind of, you know, let's just say unique.
We do.
You know, of their mission design being so different. But at the end of the day, you really don't see the vessels and Nanavadis and Seeklers making any kind of stink about it, because if you're a really good player, you just play what's in front of you and you do it to the best of your abilities, and you don't complain or whine or bitch because there's no benefit to that.
You just break it and make it so that, you know, GW plays you at Adepticon and realizes, oh man, Hype Tyrants are freaking broken.
No, fuck you, Matt Ray, for that, by the way. I'll never forgive you. I need my tyrants.
That's a good point. Like, Matt Root just adapted to the mission. He didn't complain. He just did it and won.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean,
he didn't win, but he raffle stomped a bunch of people.
And I get that. Like, the thing is, like, I get that 99% of the 40K community are not competitive players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get that. But at the end of the day, none of these changes hurt kind of casual players.
No.
That's the thing. Like, they don't hurt them. So, and the only people who are really hurt, it seems, by these players are tryhards. And you know what? That's because you're a tryhard. Sorry.
The truth hurts.
You know, yeah, it's either get good. Like, and I mean that legitimately. Like, the people who are really, really good at this game are good because they choose to be good. And we've had this discussion. To be good at this game requires effort. You are not just a savant. You are not just like, oh, I'm good at this. It's like, no, you're not Avadi, you're Siegler. You play 10 games a week, every week for your entire time you're doing this. Right. And that's how you stay good. And you're constantly thinking about it. Otherwise, if you don't want to do that or you can't do that, maybe just accept that you play this game as a hobby to have fun. So if you lose, fucking cares, man. You didn't win the event. Just try to have a positive record. Right? Like, what the hell, man? Yep. It's okay. It's totally okay to not win. So don't try so fucking hard.
Yeah, recognize your limitations and go with it.
Yeah, which is, again, and if you're really like, I want to fucking be Nick Nonavati, I want to make a living at this, good, bro, play games. Every day you should be playing a game. If it's not a game store on TTS something, right? Like, you should be playing a game every day.
Yeah.
You should do everything you can to be the best. You should math out every fucking unit in every fucking codex of what is the most points efficient for damage versus five different scenarios, right? Like, do it and then do it right and be good. And if you don't want to commit to doing that, stop whining, right? Because you basically want your cake and eat it too. You want to be the best at the game, but you don't want to put the effort in to do that, right? And sorry, get wrecked. The game is not. No one's making a game for you for that. This game is made for mostly, man, I spent 20 hours painting this one Gaunt, and he is beautiful, and he has a name with all of his 29 brothers. That's what the game is made for, is that guy who just wants to play and have fun, right? And maybe try models and paint them. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. So you're trying to, people try hard to try to impose their idea of this is the way this game should work when it's like, no. You are trying to impose your idea on this game because you don't know how to win at it. And that's the only way you know how to win at something is to make people play your game.
Okay. It's true.
Don't tell me what to do.
I should have had, I needed my rant hat. I don't have a rant hat. I rarely get to rant. And that was,
I know, you come back from the bush and you fall.
This is a good one.
Bit of vinegar.
I just let you go. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Well, I'm scared of Danny, so I just haven't been
watched. I'm actually in, like, my better moods when I come back from the bush because I've gotten all of my horrible, like, you know, fixations out.
I don't know what to do there. tomorrow sees the release of the GW app. The long-awaited, the 3 years in waiting.
Unfinished.
Yeah. It does not have the army builder just yet.
The correct term is incomplete.
Those are synonyms.
I'm just trying to be politically correct.
The correct term is beta.
The correct thing beta is release. I give you an F for turning it in incomplete.
The correct term is Steam beta release.
I've played Steam betas more complete than this app sounds.
Yeah.
Well, the app is, yeah. I think, well, the app, so as far as we know, is only missing the army builder portion, which is only available through subscription.
And the tournament pairings portion.
Well, we don't know if that.
I would.
That's under wishful thinking.
Yeah. I would just laugh if that actually happened. especially because I don't trust them to necessarily do it where it wouldn't crash during LBO either, but like, it would just be funny at this point.
It would be. I'm all for the laughs. I'm all for the lulls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you are until it happens. But
we're fucking doing spreadsheets.
This year, when that happens, I'm hitting the bar.
See, I find funny, just real quick, about, like, all the memes of John, like, doing the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Of, like, the slightly revisionist history here of the first person to sit down and start building a spreadsheet was me. of yeah. just after like the horrible realization of like looking at mm-hmm. the BCP guys mm-hmm. as they're like basically like, I don't know what to tell you, and being like, well, let's start pairing round two manually, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sit down and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You were the first one to sit down and like start to do it.
And yeah, it was never again.
Never again. I mean, maybe next time it happens, I'll just take a laptop with me to the bar and sit there and do it at the bar.
No, it, drink it heavily. Is, I swear to God, if it happens next time where like it goes down, I'm just going to immediately get on the mic and be like, we're taking a 2-hour break. Please come back. We yeah. will either have it figured out or we won't, and we'll let you know what's going on. And then, yes, we're taking laptops and we're going to the bar and we are getting shit-faced as we do this.
That might be the better way to handle that, actually.
Hell, I might hire a prostitute just to be like, here, type these names in.
I said I'd do anything, but I didn't mean this.
I would like one that types 90 words a minute.
It's like, what are you, hey, baby, what are you looking for? I need 110 words per minute and fluency in Excel. Real fluency, not like, I know how to fill in the bubbles. You need to do formulas.
I can do equations.
Hey, man, it's Vegas. You might be able to find that. Who knows?
I promise you I could. Especially now, after COVID. Man.
Anyways, I don't really care about the app until it's done. I just don't.
I was talking to someone else about it at one point, and they mentioned that the fact that if you subscribe, it'll have all the 8th edition rules would be enough for them to get it. Even
if I subscribed and it had all the new codexes as they came out too, then yes. But not
the new. Not, well, the new codexes, you might
have to buy them, put the code in. No.
Yeah.
If
I don't know.
If I'm paying a subscription to the app, and we had this conversation a lot when we were like, hey, an app would be great. If you're paying the subscription to the app, put the rules for the units in the app. I'm not saying the whole codex has to be there with all your fluff, all your stuff. Just the rules need to be in it for everything so that it's easily usable in-game for everybody. Like, if I want to know my opponent's stat, on their units, I should be able to look up what Danny's Zoanthropes do, even if I haven't bought the Tyranny Codex, the 9th edition one, when it comes out. Because I pay for the app. If I want to read all the cool fluff and, like, get painting tips from the book and stuff, then I need the book. But if I'm not going to collect the army, I don't want to have to buy the book. If I'm paying a subscription for the app itself.
They're probably going to do it like the Azir app, which is the Age of Sigmar app, where you have the option of buying the book within the app. So you'll have, so you won't have a physical book, but it'll be in the app for you.
Does it cost the same?
No, it's like half the price or something like that.
See, that's nonsense. Like,
I think last time I checked it, like, I got one and it was like $12.99, where the book is normally
$40. That's kind of nonsense. I don't like that at all. Like, I understand they're a company and they have a business model. And they want to make money, and I do not begrudge a company trying to make money. However, if what you're trying to do is provide a product that allows people to play the game better,
mm-hmm.
it needs to be done better. Go back to doing softback codexes so they're cheaper. I don't care.
Your third edition codexes.
This is part of the problem. Like, I get my codexes, almost all of them, through iBooks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do I still get... Is that going to link into my Warhammer account? Because I don't want to have it linked to an app. I want it just in my phone.
Yeah, that I don't know.
Hard drive, right? Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. There's a lot of unknowns that I'm holding off on.
We'll find out tomorrow when everything crashes from everybody trying to do it.
Yeah, I'm also not doing it tomorrow. I will wait at least 4 or 5 days.
I'm so doing it tomorrow.
Have fun.
I'm doing it tonight at 12:01.
Unlike some people, I don't get to work from home anymore, so.
It's nice. Let's go that far.
I'm working from home at least until Christmas.
I mean, school's not starting in session, but summer camp has not been closed. Like, they haven't put anything out about summer camps needing to close. I keep reading, like, are you going to close me? Do I get to go on my vacation early, or are you going to close me? But no.
Yeah. Another question that came up. So I guess for in regards to the app, it just depends on how much you value having all the 8th edition rules and codexes.
Well, at first you value it a while ago.
Once the app is up and running. without crashing.
I mean, at first you're going to value that app a lot for all those rules, and then eventually you're not going to value it anymore because those rules won't matter, so why am I paying a subscription for this app? And that's my issue.
Hopefully the army builder will be up and running by then and not just be power level. But we'll see. But another question I had, just in regards to starting a whole new edition. So the books, it's released this Saturday. We're all going to get our copies. I'm curious how you guys, I don't know how to describe it. Almost like what do you do when you get your rule book for the first time? Do you skim it? Do you just start playing and figure it out on the way? Or like for me personally, I actually read the rules cover to cover at least once or twice before I play a game. I may not retain all that information, but at least gives me an idea to start doing that.
I take the book, I put it on the shelf, and I make somebody teach me how to play.
I'm a lit professor, so I take that bad boy, I read it once. I read that bad boy once just to read it, and then I read it two or three times with a notebook next to me, and I write down my questions, my thoughts, and like what stands out to me is important of like, holy shit, that's a big change, right? And I do that till I, feel comfortable with the book and like, okay, I know what the book says, but more importantly, I know what the big changes are, right? Like what I actually have to like consciously remind myself of, that's not how combat works anymore.
Right.
Right? Like that's not how a lookout cert works anymore. And doing that really helps me kind of transition quickly into the game, right?
I don't know. It sounds like a lot of work.
I know some people like highlight certain, like they actually highlight the areas that they think are important, or they'll put bookmarks or something like post-it notes or things like that so they can reference it quickly during a game. I know it's a lot more pages than the previous edition by a long shot. But I think
it's still less than 7th, 6th, 5th.
True, but it's still because there's no special rules or anything like that. I think I usually take at least a couple read-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably do something so I can remember the terrain rules in regards to putting them next to terrain. I know people are making little cheat sheets for terrain, so you can like make little tokens and put them next to the terrain so you know what it is. I know someone actually already collated all the bullet points from the core rule book and it fits on a two-sided piece of paper. So, because I think that helps a lot in regards to learning the rules.
It seems like it would be pretty useful.
So, and especially once because GW has talked about having a section that talks about the more obscure rules or some of the more questionable issues that people have had with the rules.
Right.
So I'm curious to see what that looks like, and that will probably be heavily talked about afterwards.
My guess is probably be a lot of covering of how do these rules that worked in 8th edition that mechanic has changed in 9th, right? That's probably more what that's going to be.
Well, it's probably just clarifications of a lot of common questions. It's almost like an FAQ within the book already.
Yeah, so, and that's one thing that like came up that I mean people have said before, but I think is a salient point to go over again is the book is basically written in two ways, right? There's the long, almost FAQ like explanation of how a rule works, mm-hmm. and then the bullet point summaries beneath. Yeah. I think it's important to people to realize like essentially, if you don't care about tournaments and you don't care about high level competitive play, you only need to read the bullet points. Yeah. That will very quickly teach you how to run through this game. And, so if you're teaching, again, little Billy how to play, you just need to point him to the bullet points and be like, that's basically what it is.
Yeah. And then keep little Billy away from our tournaments.
Yeah. And if you're playing if you want to play in tournaments and you want to play competitively, that's where you really need to read the full rules and understand the way that works, right? Mm-hmm. Like the exact wording and then go in. And I think that's really smart because, the rules are definitely longer than an 8th edition, but if you took only the bullet points, which is what 8th edition rules were, is basically all those bullet points just in a nicer format, it would probably be like three pages.
I'm looking at the document right now. It's basically two pages.
Yeah, the bullet points. And, yeah, if you took the bullet points,
if it's just all bullet points from the core rules.
Yeah. So I think that's something to people need to keep in mind when they make jokes about like, oh my god, the rules exploded. It's like, no, you basically just got 8th edition FAQs put into the rule book.
Yeah, like it felt like that to a certain extent.
Yeah, when you read some of those rules, you're like, this has been FAQ'd. Like, this is an FAQ language, mm-hmm. right?
Which, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with that.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, so hopefully, I'll probably, if no one else does it, I'll probably update this document to include some of the terrain features. So it'll probably end up being a few more pages, but it would be very useful.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that, and that's something I would probably use just as a cheat sheet.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, that'd be very helpful. And then, you know, if there's like, wait, how does this work? Then you just crack open the actual rule book and read the explanation.
And the same thing goes even if once tournaments start up again sometime in hopefully the near future. At least here, some places are more fortunate than others.
Yeah. Sabo 88 says he's running one August 1st and 2nd.
Yeah. Oh, is that the Vanguard Tactics one?
I have no idea. Is it UK? Sabo
88? Yeah, I'll put it this way. It's probably not in America.
Well, it could be Midwest.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It could just be in San Antonio, Texas.
It could just be in states that don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Or it could just be TOs that don't care either. It's definitely at least two of those. Boardroom Brawl in British Columbia, Canada. See, not in the United States. And also, we can't travel there to go to it, so.
Exactly, yeah. If you'd let us in, maybe we'd come.
If you let us in, maybe we can infect you.
Yeah, I know. I've only had this cough for like a week. It's fine.
I promise it's allergies.
Yeah, oh my god, traveling through. It was one of those weird things. So, you know, on the road trip up to the bush, right? Like, this was literally like set the tone for the trip. I think day one, I'm in Stanislaus County. So that's like, you know, south of Stockton, near Stockton, essentially in California. And if you don't know Stockton is like one of the like KKK white supremacist, like capitals of California, which is actually pretty substantial. But my kid really needed to use the bathroom and he also like just needed to run around. So we stop at this, you know, little, kind of like weird strip mall off the 5 that they have every like 50, 60 miles. Mm-hmm. But you know, I took him into this restaurant, smelled pretty good, rib place, to use the bathroom. And we were the only ones wearing masks. Everyone else, except for the servers were all wearing masks and face mm-hmm. shields, but everyone else was just sitting there drinking, laughing, having a grand old time, no masks. And you know, me and him are masked up and we're like walking in the bathroom. And there was just one guy where I was literally like, oh my god, I'm about to have that weird dad moment of I'm going to fight this man in front of my kid, which is a really weird pressure, but just kept staring at us and was like looking at our masks and staring at us. We were clearly like offended we were wearing masks. And I could tell he was like trying to work up the courage to harass us. And he was like doing the math in his head of like, okay, he's with his kid. It's not really cool to fuck with people with their kid, but at the same end, he's a, you know, like he's a dumb libtard who's wearing a mask, right? Like, and all of this. And it was just one of those like, man, like no wonder we're so fucked. And of course, you know, before I leave, I'm getting like, you know, when I actually have service, I'm getting updates of like Newsom is closing this, like California surge is rising. And I'm like, gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're not making me hopeful for our road trip we're taking to Wyoming.
My God, it's nice knowing you.
No, it's just—I mean, it'll be fine. I mean, it's just a long ass
drive.
We're
just camping the whole time.
Yeah.
We're
gonna
get one of those
tents that goes on the top of our car. I'm getting the roof rack installed on Saturday, and we're gonna get one of those tents that just folds off the top, and you just climb up into it at night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
And we're just gonna drive up to Wyoming and back.
No, that sounds cool. I mean, I was basically homesteading for several weeks, so you know, like it's real low risk there when you're. This kind of deep, literally as deep in the bush as just about you can get.
Right.
Yeah. I think at the end of August, we're going to go to Big Bear.
Yeah.
Just to get out of the house.
Yeah. Do the same thing you do just in a different place.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Hey man, just seeing your like home, whatever it is, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it gets real maddening real quick.
Yes. Yes. Seeing my home, quote unquote. 24/7 is maddening.
This guy.
Home. My two-legged home.
Oh, shit. Okay, moving on.
All right, what else?
So one of the last things, if you have any questions in the chat, let us know.
Don't ask. Further.
So when our store closed, the owner's sibling took a lot of the stuff with it that was in the store. Didn't take any of the books or any of
the novels,
yes. So I took them all for whatever. I was planning to give them out for our tournament, which may not happen. Still waiting on that.
Because they were just going to throw them away anyways.
Yeah, well, yeah, they would have just thrown them away because whatever was left in the store when they told us to come to get our stuff was going to get tossed. Yeah. So for those that don't know that joined us late, we are having the Patreon contest for Patreon members only, and they're going to be getting the Adamatus box set.
Patreon Facebook members only, because Patreon doesn't allow you to do raffles.
Members
it's the only. Facebook Sorry. Group. They yes. just happen to be the same people who are in the Patreon.
So they'll be put into a drawing to win a box set.
Hey.
So... So hopefully, unlike the last contest, it's not in Australia. Because that's going to cost a lot more. It'll probably cost as much as a box.
Same. Nah. Cost like 30 bucks.
So what are you going to do with the books? What's your brilliant idea?
So for the books, what I want to do, because there's a lot of books. So, and I don't really check the iTunes or any of the reviews, things like that, as much as I used to. So if you leave a review for the show, it can be on iTunes, it can be on Spotify, any of the channels that we're on. Take a picture of that review, send it to me, and along at tfgradiopodcast@gmail.com, in the subject put in book club, and I'll send you a book basically. Simple as that. I have a lot of books.
Do they get to choose their book, or is it just sort of luck of the draw? Here's a book.
You can choose. I can't. I have to look and see what I have. You can choose your book. You can choose which setting, if you, because I do have some Age of Sigmar books. If you want,
I don't think
I have any Horus Heresy books, but I do have 40K books. I may have a Blood Bowl book. What? There's some omnibus in there. I think
there's Blood Bowl literature.
There is. There's at least, yeah. There
that seems man. Like the antithesis of Blood Bowl.
I can't even get it out without laughing.
So.
Oh, yeah. So please tell me it's an orc team and they all talk with the Scottish Highlander accents.
Hopefully it's a good review, but if you put a review, you know, just let us know. Send a picture. And if you want it from a certain setting, Age of Sigmar, Blood Bowl, or 40K, let me know.
All you negative reviews automatically get Age of Sigmar books.
Not the Blood Bowl book.
You only got one of them.
If you want a certain book, you can ask. I can look. I don't have a list. I kind of like grab them and put them all in a box just to get them out of there. So I don't really know what exactly books I have off the top of my head. But yeah, just leave a review, get a book. Not that hard. Don't have to worry about postage or anything like that. So just something mainly to get rid of the books and to get reviews, I guess. We'll pay for the shipping. By we, I mean I.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Well, as the only person with access to the Patreon money, you will pay for shipping, yes?
Yes.
So, Sabo
Sabo88 wants to know what Dark Eldar did so wrong, and the answer to that is everything.
I'm assuming Venom spam.
I'm assuming kidnapping Vulcan's people from his planet.
Why does it always got to go back to Vulcan?
Because Vulcan's
Salamander
Space Marines are best Space Marines.
I'm almost positive, like most things with GW, someone who has direct control over rules played against something and got their feelings hurt. And we're like, you know what, man, fuck you. I'm just going to go over here.
Phantom's band touched somebody in their no-no spot at GW headquarters.
Well, that's all they do.
And it's fitting for Dark Eldar, so that's that.
Yeah.
No, don't kink shame.
So leave. I'm not. So
Dark Eldar are the Jeffrey Epstein of the 40K universe.
Jesus. They're going to get squatted?
Yeah, I was going to say they killed themselves. Squats killed themselves.
Somebody suicided them for themselves.
And apparently I have to help my brother install a water heater.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You know what? I was almost thinking of getting the new 40K journal and actually using it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you know how they had that 40K, they made that 40K journal?
No.
They have one for ASMR also.
What are you talking about?
It's a journal where you keep track of your battles.
Oh, I have one for Age of Sigmar because I think I got it the last Hammer of Wrath as like a door prize.
If you're going to do that, isn't it just called a notebook?
Yes.
Like you get a one.
But it's a notebook you pay $25 for.
Yeah, and it looks cool.
Instead of the 99 cents you can get for a composite book.
I actually play against a few people that actually used it during our game, like our tournament games.
That's dedication. You have to respect that.
I do not.
I can get one and just fill it out.
I should get one and fill it. Just make up a bunch of games.
Well, that's what I was going to do.
Write a bunch of salty ass I lost with whatever over and over and over again.
My dice lost me this game, not me. Yes. I did everything perfect. That'd be my journal.
Reflect on how well you played this game. I played great. My dice suck.
Yeah. This guy cheated me. I don't know how he cheated me.
Be like the Phil Hellmuth of 40K. If this game weren't random, I'd win every time.
Yeah. So yeah, just give us a review and get a book. Easy as that. Simple as that. Cool. Not that hard. tfgradiopodcast@gmail.com. Subject line, book club. Then you get a book.
Ooh, I could just write Fuck Elder repeatedly throughout the entire book.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea, Dice Hammer TV.
You would have done that anyway.
I probably would have. I don't think I needed that inspiration.
I'm surprised you're not doing that now, just on a random piece of paper.
Well, you don't see what the inside of the closet looks like that my computer's in.
Oh, my God.
Scrawled on the door, the side that nobody can see with red Sharpie.
That'd be funny.
What was that? What was that show that was in Handmaid's Tale? Where they had, like, scratched into the wall. So instead of, like, being something great in Latin, mine's just Fuck Eldar.
No. Nolite bastardes cardoronero.
That's right. Nope, that's
I not that book, so, yeah.
Yeah. The book was good. The first season was good, but the second season...
I haven't read the sequel to Handmaid's Tale yet, just because part of me is like, I don't know why there needs to be a sequel to the book. So it just feels like a money grab.
Because it got popular, so it needed a sequel. And that's what we do in the 21st century.
The same reason I haven't read the Hunger Games prequel.
Yeah, I have that sitting over there, and Natalie was like, we ordered it, and Natalie's like, okay, we need to read it together. I'm like, okay, what do you mean by read it together? Like, I'll read it and you read it? And she's like, no, we should like read it out loud together. And I'm like, so neither of us is ever reading this book.
Wow. I sometimes feel sorry.
Something doing with a trip to Wyoming, man. Jesus.
It's not going to be appropriate for the kids. We will listen to books on Audible, but we have to find we listened to the Harry Potter books, all of them during road trips.
Okay.
The last two summers. So
what? Edmund and Eve aren't ready for Battle Royale and a Marxist critique of capitalism and social media.
I mean, they're my kids; they probably get that already, anyways. And Edmund plays Fortnite, so there's already the Battle Royale.
Yeah, I mean, again, he'll actually probably like it more that way. It's like, oh shit!
Yeah,
did he get power ups?
For those that don't know, Tom is working on our Eldar army. Speaking of Eldar, so we should have pictures of that up fairly soon. The progress
only if he pays the gems.
He's not going to paint the gems.
I don't know why you let Tom paint the army.
Because he volunteered for it.
Like he just said it first.
Would you paint the Eldar army?
I absolutely would have painted the Eldar army. I love wraiths. And that army's got a ton of wraiths.
What am I going to say? All right.
Although I'm still looking over there behind me and I'm like, oh, I still got to finish Carlos's Harlequins.
No.
Yeah, you should probably do that first.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good work done on the Harlequin, so. It's not like any of us have an event to go to.
No. That's very true.
So, John, you're working. What are you, other than Harlequins, what are you working on for yourself?
I do have my Impulsors sitting over there needing to be built. So, okay. I will build Space Marine and Space Wolf stuff first chance I get.
Danny, Tyranids, as always.
See, so kind of in the corner there, I've got some Tyranids that literally this entire quarantine I've slowly been working on because I never have time to paint between work and kid being all the time and everything else. So. You know, but once my Indominus box set gets here, I'm going to start working on those Necrons, right? Get the Sandycrons.
Oh, yeah, get the Sandcrons.
Yeah, I'll do that for my Indominus set of Necrons too, do the Sandcron stuff.
Yeah, so I should get my Indominus book Monday or Indominus box Monday or Tuesday, so. Cool.
Yeah, I have to go pick mine up, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, I have to pick mine up too.
Which is fine because I got to take the car to get the roof rack on it, so I'll just go do that at the same time.
Yeah. Nice little outing.
Yeah, nice little outing without.
I want to check out the store space.
I might get lost. How'd you get lost? You have Waze. My phone's dead. How are you texting me?
Stole someone's charger.
I got Epstein'd.
I got. I'll be working on probably Chaos. Once I decide on a list, I'll know what to work on. I'll probably finish building the Defilers. Mm-hmm. So I only need two now instead of three.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's a lot of. Once the points get updated in Battlescribe, be a lot easier. Well, there's no
fancy army builder GW app, bro.
Well, I'm doing it on Excel right now, so.
Oh, you're giving me a PTSD.
Yeah.
Still got to scratch that itch.
Yeah, I mean, at least building lists. I haven't built lists in so long, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I should probably put together some Tyranid lists here.
Well, I just started building lists this week.
I'm just going to show up with stuff and hope it's the right points.
Oh, so you're playing open play.
I'm
just going to show up and be like, hey, this is my list. What is this stuff on the table?
I'm sure this is a Flames of War game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it for today. It's a pretty full episode. We'll be back next week and we'll announce the winner of the Patreon Facebook group contest. And, hopefully, everyone will have played a couple games. Fingers crossed. I might try to get in a game with my brother.
I will not be around for that show, FYI.
Oh, okay. So it's already better.
I mean, it's going to have way less clicks is all I'm saying.
Okay. Keep telling yourself that.
I will. Which means it's true because it's my narrative. And that's how it rolls in 2020. Whatever I want to be true is true.
Danny, you're very talkative today. Any last words?
Now I'm just tired and and kind of sad that on Saturday I don't know if I'll actually get to play a game of 9th edition, like in person, which, you know, makes me slightly morose, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know I won't.
John, any last words since we won't probably talk to you for like a month on the air?
Yeah, stop whining about something that hasn't been out yet.
Perfect, right before something comes out.
Hey, once you've played and it's been out and there's been some tournaments run with this thing, then you can have all the critiques you want.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you everybody that joined us on chat today. Again, don't forget the book club show review. Put a review, get a book, tfgradiopodcast@gmail.com. Subject book club. But that being said, everybody have fun with the new edition on Saturday. And good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.